The iPhone has become one of the most ubiquitous and loved products of our time. Its maker, multinational tech company Apple, worth $624 billion, is practically worshipped by the consumer. This week, Apple held its annual keynote event, debuting the newest iPhone, drawing attention of hundreds of people worldwide, thousands probably, I'd say, and making international headlines too. But now, all of a sudden, the phone we held so dear is obsolete, ready to be thrown out and replaced with a bigger, better, shinier model. Dr. Stephen Holden from the Macquarie University Graduate School of Management joins us now to talk about the brain behind products like this and how they manage to captivate the consumer. Good morning, Dr. Holden.
Good morning, Jenny.
So why is it that we as consumers have such passion and loyalty for a product like the iPhone, and almost to the point where, you know, hundreds of people are happy to sit and camp outside stores to buy them?
Well, there's no doubt that Apple, I think, as a company, is a little bit extraordinary, and people are just super passionate about what the company represents. You know, it's changed the face of how we do things. You know, it's simple lines and it's elegance and so on. And I think people were probably, to a large extent, fed up with, you know, the just increasing ugliness and complexity of our world. So yeah, I get the Apple culture and so on. I'm less convinced that it's about loyalty, though. I think it's actually, ironically, perhaps, that they're drawn to, you know, the next new shiny thing. And in fact, you said in the intro, you know, this is evidence to the loyalty as we throw out our last phone. That's not loyalty. You know, if I was to explain to my partner that loyalty is I'm throwing you over for a new one, you know, you've got the same name, I don't think she'd be very happy with me.
Loyalty to the brand, though. They do manage to keep us, though. They keep us captivated and interested.
I'm throwing her over for her sister, right?
Yeah. She won't mind. Is this going to get you in trouble later?
No, but this does get you, it does get you thinking about what's going on. I'm not convinced that this is loyalty. I do think there is clearly a culture around Apple. There's also a culture around Tesla, but many of us don't own Teslas, but we're fascinated by the car. And again, simple lines and a fairly simple, clear-cut mission. What I think Apple is, like Tesla, is just a fantastic product that has for a long time managed to keep doing things very well. I'm old enough to remember when they first came out and they invented virtually the word, you know, user friendliness. That they made them, today we talk about it being intuitive. They think a lot about how the user uses the product, which I think we appreciate.
Yeah. And what are some of the techniques that they use as well to create hype around their products?
I guess from a marketing perspective, I think that the hype is actually fairly simple. I think they let the product speak for itself. So let's take when Steve Jobs was there. I mean, their product presentation, I guess I haven't seen any in live, and I've only ever seen them over the internet, but they're just a person standing on a stage using the product and talking, super well rehearsed. I mean, Jobs was well known for doing that. He rehearsed it over and over and over and over again and wanted everything to go exactly right, which I guess is interesting with the launch of the iPhone X. The Face ID didn't work. But interestingly, people seem to be relatively forgiving about that. So I think that highlights it's not the hype that's winning people across. It's the fact that there is something about this phone that's just doing what people want. It's giving them what they want.
Dr. Stephen Holden from the Macquarie University Graduate School of Management's with us. And the relationship we have with our material goods changes as soon as something new comes along. Can you tell us a bit about the concept of product cannibalism and why we are so willing to throw away the old?
Okay, I think that's a fantastic question, because there's really two sides to this. Many, many years ago, we used to call it product obsolescence, and we accused the marketers of deliberately building things to last less long. You know, so the car would only last, you know, 3 or 4 years instead of 30 or 40. Lawnmowers are a classic case. You can buy cheapies and they'll last for a couple of years, but if you spend two times the amount of money, you'll get one that lasts for 15 years. In some categories, that's something that you'd think we would value. Say in something like a lawnmower, which is fairly practical and pragmatic, we don't care what it looks like and we don't need to update. In things like mobile phones and Fitbits and watches and things that sort of increasingly come very close to sort of fashion statements, it's less about product obsolescence and more about a fashion cycle. And we humans, unfortunately, are like, you know, birds, bower birds. You know, we like collecting bright, glittery things. And so we throw over the last one for the new one. So my memory of when iPhone first launched was, well, I had a couple of glitches with the first one. But, you know, they very quickly rolled over new models just year on year. So people were throwing over the old one for the new one because it was a bit better and a bit newer and a bit shinier and so on.
And they also, you know, then felt like they were on top of it. They were, you know, front runners in the race to be, you know, to have the newest accessories, right?
That's right. Now, Apple is in a curious place because this works so long as people continue to think that they're up ahead of the game in technology. I'm not saying that I think they're not at the front of technology, but there's always a danger. Well, I think inevitably they will slide back one day because when you're standing on the top of the tree, there's really nowhere else to go but down. And when that happens, then it'll sink in that there isn't really loyalty in this market. I don't believe that consumers are super loyal. They will swap for the next new shiny thing. You know, if you keep, that was the comment I made at the beginning, if you're bringing in the new and asking me to swap over to the new and you're appealing to my desire for novelty, then you're not creating loyalty at all. You're actually encouraging me to swap. What you have now is what we call a transaction cost. People are reluctant to change to an alternative system, Apple, because they have to relearn the use of the phone. Now, that's not loyalty. That just means you're stuck. that's like saying we're loyal to banks. We're not loyal to banks. It's just such a pain in the backside to go from one bank to another when you're finally fed up with the bank you're with that you continue to stay. That's not loyalty, really. I think there's a danger at some point that Apple may find themselves in that place, that their fans will continue loving the new phone and so on and the new phones, and they'll roll over. But if they feel that they've spent a lot of money for this new phone, like this latest one is the most expensive phone out there by a long shot, and they're disappointed, they go, it's not much better than the last one. Well, now that's the beginning of the end. Now you've got a bit of a problem.
Yeah, and you're right. They do kind of lock you in. You know, if you've got an iPhone, you've probably got some kind of computer that's Apple related.
That's right.
You probably have iTunes, and then you might pay $10 a month for their music service. They're kind of now forcing loyalty in a sense? I mean, it's not what it used to be.
That's right, and we need a different word, frankly. And in my view, that isn't loyalty. That's being locked in. Again, to think about, you know, a relationship, it's one thing to love your partner. It's another one to just go, I can't do better, or I'm going to lose the kids if I break out of here or something. That's not loyalty. That's a very sad place to be. And you're quite correct. I think a lot of organizations now are probably getting closer to this point where they seek to lock us in through transactions, you know, making it difficult for us to move to an alternative device. They try to give us everything, you know, Google does it and Apple does it and so on. But when we finally do get fed up and move away, then they can, then it finally comes to roost for them that loyalty doesn't really exist.
Hey, it's been great speaking with you this morning. Thanks so much for joining us.